Good afternoon. House Education Finance Committee will come to order. Let's see. Representative Poston, have you had an opportunity to review the minutes from the March 16th meeting?
Madam Chair, I have reviewed the minutes, and I would move the March 16th minutes.
All right. Representative Poston moves the March 16th minutes be adopted. Any questions, comments? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Minutes are approved. Thank you, Representative Poston. All right, so today, members, we're coming back to Representative Crecia's bill on school district insurance coverage. This is a bill that we very briefly discussed, and I committed to bringing it back so that the committee could have a full hearing on it. So that's what we're doing today. And so, Representative Crecia, if you're ready, you want to go on up?
Madam Chair, while he's gone up, do you have any idea what the schedule is going to be for, like, the omnibus bill?
Yes. So let's cover that now before we get into the rest. So, and I did place a call to Representative Davney. I was hoping to chat with him before committee to give him a heads up. But Representative Thiessen just asked about schedule for the omnibus bill.
He beat me to it.
All right. So,
thank you. Feeling quite all right?
Yeah. So obviously we're working on the bill. And I'm hoping to have, basically, we'll use the governor's bill, which I authored as the vehicle. We'll offer a delete all. I'm hoping to have that language finalized maybe tonight and posted, if not tomorrow morning. But tonight would be the goal. Again, just the staff is working as hard as they can and as quickly as they can, and we're double-checking everything. So then the plan would be for this week that Wednesday, so tomorrow in committee, we will do the full walkthrough of the delete all. Public testimony, if there's time tomorrow, we'll start that. Thursday all day will be devoted to public testimony. We will be having committee Friday, so Friday will be our day for amendments and markup. Right now I'm thinking we will start that at 10 a.m. Friday morning. Representative Murphy made a face, so I feel the same way. At least we're not going to meet at 8 a.m. because I am not an early morning person, and that would not be good for any of us. So anyway, so right now I'm thinking 10 a.m. I can be persuaded to start earlier if members feel really strongly about that. I just want to make sure that members have time to, again, digest the bill and then to file amendments. What time have we suggested for amendment filing date, deadline? Thursday, what time? So I'm thinking Thursday at noon, deadline for filing of amendments for the Friday meeting. Thursday at noon for filing of amendments. So as long as everything stays as planned, that will be the schedule. Okay. All right. Thank you. President Thiessen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just on that, so then going forward, you may not have any idea about this, but is the plan then that these bills are going to be on the floor next week?
I think there's a possibility that would be the case, yes. I guess that's up to leadership scheduling and that, but I think that's a possibility.
Madam Chair,
Representative.
I trust this bill has to go to taxes.
And to Ways and Means, yes.
Yes, before Ways and Means.
Yes.
Okay, so that puts more steps in the process.
Yes, it does.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other questions? Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to add that I'm more of a 9 o'clock or 9:30 person.
The chair is amenable to that, and I understand not wanting to be here late, and especially for people having to drive a distance home. So, again, if the committee would rather start earlier, I'm okay with that. If we could just not have it be like 8 a.m., that would be great. Or okay. So, you know what? I will just kind of informally survey people, but would people be more comfortable with 9 if we could get going? Okay. So let's say 9.
Madam Chair.
Representative.
There's at least one other committee meeting at 9 o'clock that morning, Ag Finance, and I know there's a couple of us on there.
Okay. All right. So let me just double check with that. We'll tentatively shoot for 9. If we need to adjust that a little bit, I hope members will just understand the leeway that we need to make sure that with all of the committees that may be meeting and that, we'll have a little bit of back and forth. Representative Dabney.
Madam Chair, you'd think of all the committees to start early, it would be the Ag Finance. You know, get up, milk the cows.
I could be here.
Okay.
All right. Pick up the eggs. Any other questions about the schedule for the rest of this week, as I've just outlined? Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and turn to Representative Krisha. And Representative Krisha moves that House File 1558 be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill or further action at a later time. And Representative Krisha.
And I do have an A2 amendment, Madam Chair.
All right. So there's an author's amendment in your packets, the A2 amendment. Representative Krisha, for your amendment.
And I move that the A2 amendment become the bill. What the A2 amendment does is a couple of things. We take out the exemption for self-insured. So by doing that, if you are a district in the state of Minnesota, you would be required, well, you wouldn't be required to get a PEAT bid. You would actually, if requested. So we remove the mandate, and I'm trying to get to a compromise here. And what we're saying is if a representative from the largest collective bargaining union, which is typically the teachers, requests a PEAT district or PEAT bid in the bidding process, the district should honor that. And the trade-off for this is that this goes out to all school districts, that exemption and carve-out be removed. And that is what the A2 amendment does.
All right. So Representative Krisha has the A2 amendment. Any further discussion or questions on that?
Madam Chair?
Representative Dabney.
No, I'm sorry. My mistake.
All right.
Do my bill.
So all in favor of the A2 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. The A2 amendment is added to your bill.
Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I apologize. I was just going to talk the amendment and then have testifiers come up.
Okay.
Bring up as a motion?
Yes.
Can I make a motion to reconsider the A2?
All right. So Representative Krisha voting on the prevailing side moves to reconsider the A2 amendment. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. A2 amendment is off the bill, but under consideration.
Thank you. And so let me talk about what I'm trying to do here. This is a policy that the HIDTA policy got here, and everything came because of best of intentions. I really believe that. I know where it came from. I was sitting in the committee when it came up. And what we're trying to do is make the health insurance more palatable and more inexpensive for teachers. And the way that it was done with this bill was to mandate a PEAT bid, to say that one of those bids should come from the public employee insurance group. And I think PEAT is great. I think if people want to, school districts want to consider a PEAT bid, they should get one. The unintended side of this was, in order to get to that agreement, a number of school districts asked for a carve-out. They asked to be excluded. So essentially what happened when this conversation came up, the school districts in Minnesota were divided and said, some of them said, we would like a PEAT bid and we'd like the ability to ask for one. In fact, we probably would like a mandate. Other school districts have said, you know what, we have a very good process going. We would like to not be held to the burdens and administrative constraints of what this law does. Understand all that. And I know why. However, getting to today, what we have is a situation where we have school districts that are excluded, and in those exclusions we've set up a different set of frameworks on how this applies to you. So we've made a patchwork of law, and that has caused where some districts have a burden and some districts do not. I have offered the A2 amendment for discussion. I will tell you what my intent is. I don't want to put anybody, I will withdraw that amendment. I do not want this A2 to go on. But I want you to hear from the districts that this will affect. Because when this came up in state gov, a number of other districts, and I hope they will come up today, will talk about the burdens of this. And what you're going to find is, when I withdraw the A2 amendment, I will take the burdens off of those self-insured districts, but the burden will still be left squarely on the rural districts that I represent. And what I'm asking is, I'm trying to change the perspective of what we think here is, I'm trying to make good policy. Either what we do is good for the entire state and all the districts, or we carve out districts, which I think is bad policy.
So with that, and just so there's no clarification, I will withdraw this A2 amendment when it comes time, but I would love to hear opposition on that, and I'd like to invite some of my testifiers up.
All right. Thank you, Representative Grisha. If your testifiers want to come forward. All right. And I do have a list of those who indicated they want to testify, but I don't know which order you're going. So if you would each just make sure that you state your name before you begin your testimony. Welcome.
Chairperson Lynn, committee members, thank you for the opportunity to be before you today. My name is Tom Peterstone. I'm the Human Resources Director for the Rosemont-Apple Valley-Eagan School District. We have over 28,000 students and provide a self-funded health insurance plan to 2,800 employees. We began self-funding our health insurance plan on July 1, 2012. Since this time, we've built over a $13 million reserve while averaging just over a 1% increase in each of the 5 years we've had that. I have a few concerns regarding the amendment before you today. I'll briefly highlight those concerns for you. Currently, when a self-funded school district requests proposals, they request third-party administrative services only to process claims. This amendment would also require self-funded school districts to request proposals for fully insured plans. This creates additional expenses for the school district and unnecessarily causes insurance carriers to respond to multiple proposals from every self-funded school district, and that's a waste of everybody's time. In addition, it just doesn't make sense to request both a self-insured and a fully insured proposal. They're not comparable. Fully insured proposals include significant expenses to cover claims that may not occur. These additional expenses stay with the carrier when they don't occur. In a self-insured model, we have a reserve built, and if those claims do not occur, the reserve amount stays with the district in those plan reserves. The HIDA statute current requirement of requesting proposals every 2 years has already impacted the marketplace. This year, we had one carrier decline to bid on our plan. This has never happened before. I believe that running multiple RFPs will further deter carriers from responding to our RFPs. I've personally spoken and received emails from 18 self-funded school districts, and all of them oppose this amendment. They include Anoka, Burnsville, Cambridge-Isani, Eastern Carver County, Eden Prairie, Elk River, Farmington, Forest Lake, Minnetonka, Moorhead, Northfield, North St. Paul, South Washington County, Stillwater, Wayzata, West St. Paul, White Bear Lake, and Wilmer. Thank you for your time. Please do not support this amendment.
Thank you. Mr. Peterstone, was it?
Correct.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Peterstone? All right. Thank you, sir. You might want to not go too far just in case there's questions. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson Lewin and committee members. Good afternoon. My name is Scott Nelson. I'm the Director of Business Services for Independent School District Number 15 at St. Francis. I've been in school business operations for 36 years. I've been in 8 public schools, 1 intermediate district, and I ran 1 charter school on a contracted service for 3 years. Thank goodness I'm retiring as of April 1 after 36 years of doing this. But I'm still compassionate about this because of simply what happened to a self-insured fund in St. Francis. Self-insured fund was started by St. Francis in 2012, probably not to the chagrin of the employee groups because of the way it was done, but it was still in process of being done. In the process, the fund began to grow. The first year, we were actually in deficit. After that, the fund began to grow to a tune of $1.4 million. We are in a very large district, about 4,500 students, about 850 employees, of which 600 of those people take the insurance. I have a concern about a law that created a problem in my eyes for the district, a self-insured district, and I don't want to see this happen to any other district that has a self-insured program. We did a bid process in February, and 2 straight years of our process with the self-insured fund, our fund grew to a point where we took premiums, and people are here from St. Francis as well, could tell you they had seen premium increases over 20%. In year 3, we were able to bring the premiums down to 9.6% increase. In the 4th year, our fund looked healthy enough that we were going to propose a 0% increase. This is done in front of an insurance committee of which all employee groups are represented, including the group that by law voted to go to the PEEP program because of a law that states the largest employee group of a school district can vote to go to peak. So what happened? The reserves, in May 2015, we had already let bids in February. New rates were established by the District Insurance Committee. I already explained who those people were. Open enrollment process was already completed, and all of a sudden we were informed by Minnesota, our local group, that they were going to go to peak. Process starts all over. We had to redo all of the open enrollment process. It also left 39 employees in a lurch because they were not part of their group. We had to scramble to find insurance program for those people. It was not easy. Luckily, our local carrier decided to take them. We also lost $30,000 in wellness funds due to this law that our carrier was providing for a two-year process. That all goes back to the employees for a wellness program. We also had to close a clinic. We had an in-house clinic that was open 2 days a week, had a doctor, prescriptions were free. All this process helped control the premiums, helped control the cost of claims. That all had to go away. We pulled the employee group about what was wrong. They were complaining about the clinic. We pulled them and got a survey, and the claim and everything came back and said, change the doctor, change the location. Several other things were involved in that, but those were the two key things. We changed the location, spent $20,000 renovated in the same time frame that this all happened. We spent $20,000 that went awry. I just got a 3-year lease for that process, for that clinic, and we didn't even go through the first year. So now I have a current facility that I'm leasing that now is $13,000 a year that now I've moved my food service program into it just to use the money. Okay? So those are the things that happened to us. The other problem with it is timeline. They did this way past the timeline of what we bid insurance. It was a bad thing for our employees. In my opinion, it's a bad thing for the process of administering it. And the self-insured plan was definitely going the right way. And it's unfortunate that this type of process doesn't help a self-insured program. I hope this never happens to them. I'm not in favor of this proposal. I'm not in favor of the law that allows an employee group to dictate what the insurance plan will be based on a vote. I'm not against PEEP, believe me. My wife is a state employee, works for the State Department of DOC. I had a motorcycle accident in 2007, which was over $500,000. I was quite pleased with the way PEEP handled it. So it's not about PEEP, it's about the process. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Any questions for Mr. Nelson? All right, again, and if you could not go too far away in case there's questions for you. Welcome.
Madam Chair, Josh Down of Minneapolis Public Schools. After state government, I visited briefly with Representative Krusha about our experience in Minneapolis schools. And Madam Chair, earlier this session, you and I chatted briefly about the increases that we've seen recently in our health insurance costs. And so for four straight years, we averaged 8.5% increases until the piece I didn't share with you because I just found out about it was that we recently became self-insured for this year, and our increase this year was zero. And our projected increase for next year is zero as well. So the self-insurance process works. It's helping hold down those costs. And so for that reason, I'm opposed to the amendment and appreciate Representative Krusha withdrawing it. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Downham. Any other testifiers? All right.
That's all I have for me.
Representative Krusha? I'm sorry. Did you say anything?
I didn't say that was all I had.
Okay. All right. So those are people basically expressing an opinion either on the amendment or the bill. Are there any other persons with concerns on the bill? Point of view. Yeah. So I've got a list here, and I don't know if this is from previous or renewed. Is that for today? Okay. So I have Al Hagerson from Albert Lee, Michael Stoffel, Don Sinner. Oh, this is a tough one. Mark Schmeising. Schmeising. Grace Kelleher. All right, welcome, and I apologize if I mispronounce anyone's name. Welcome.
Thank you. Chair Loon and other members of the committee, thank you for taking time to listen to my story. My name is Mike Stoffel. I've been an educator in ISD 15 St. Francis for the past 13 years. I've been involved in contract negotiations since 2011, and in the fall of 2013, our district went out for insurance renewal and included a PEEP bid. The numbers came back and were nothing less than catastrophic. Neither the district nor the union pursued the PEEP plan because it didn't make any financial sense. In the meantime, as Mr. Nelson alluded to, our district created a self-funded insurance model, even though we lacked the 1,000 necessary lives that most actuaries require to consider a self-funded model. And in the first 2 years of the self-funded insurance, we saw an average increase of 1%, which were great numbers. But in 2013-14, we saw a premium increase of 13.8%, and in 2014-15, we saw an increase of 9.8%. So in the spring of 2015, the district went out for bids again and included a PEEP bid per the Minnesota statute. A little bit about our cost. In St. Francis, as in many districts throughout the state, the increase in premium is paid by the employer or the member. Most contracts have fixed dollar amounts for insurance contributions instead of percentages. This makes licensed staff and teachers scrutinize every use of insurance and makes them an active consumer with an eye towards cost and coverage. After opening the bids and examining the numbers from PEEP, my reaction to the bid was, these numbers are amazing. Instead of seeing an increase or even keeping the cost the same, we recorded monthly premiums that were lower than our previous year. With that information and other information sent to members, our members voted overwhelmingly to support the PEEP bid by 85%. It's important to remember that a PEEP bid covers all employees of a district, from a superintendent to a teacher, from a custodian to maintenance and grounds, from educational assistants to bus drivers. Every employee is covered by the PEEP bid. I'd like to share one personal story. The personal effect of our change to PEEP, I'm still learning about. In January, right after our winter break, I had a teacher stop me in the lunchroom and ask if we could talk. We went to her office, and as I sat down, she said, "I just want to say thank you for saving my life." I said, "What?" She continued on and told me how for years she hadn't used her insurance due to the very high deductible. But because we had switched to plans from PEEP, she was able to actually use her insurance. And because she used her insurance, her cancer had been detected early enough to require a relatively low-risk course of treatment. She added, "PEEP has saved me thousands of dollars on treatment, but more importantly, I'm alive today because of it. So thank you. And thank you for your time today. I'd be happy to answer any questions."
Thank you, Mr. Stoffel. Appreciate you sharing your story. Any questions for Mr. Stoffel? All right. Not right now, but again, we may come back to that. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Don Sinner. I am the president in PM Lakeville. District Representative and I'm here to share our story about how the PEEP leverage has helped our district in insurance bidding. In the sheet that was provided to you in the packets, Lakeville, before HIDA existed, over 3 years went up in premiums 40%, out-of-pocket cost to my members of 23.5% out of our paycheck. That represented over 2 years, last 2 years of that bid, $4.6 million in profits for the provider. After the HIDA bid came into existence and we started getting bids from all four major providers plus PEEP, you see that now we're down to, over the past 6 years, with the current bid that just came in, an increase over that time of 2.6%. And the out-of-pocket expenses has actually gone down almost 24% for my members. And I can honestly say that that is because of the pressure of us filing the paperwork necessary per the bill, to have the ability to go to PEEP. Because it was made very clear in the RFP to the providers that were bidding that we were going to exercise that right. Not just Education Minnesota Lakeville, but also our custodial staff and our para staff. We were not going to leave anybody behind. So we built a collaborative environment. Through that, we were able in our last contract to save $1.2 million in contract expenses below aggregate value, which is another statute. We were able to use that money to plow into our teacher development and evaluation QCOMP plan and support that, allowing our district to avoid levying the local portion of the QCOMP funds, saving our taxpayers' dollars. All the while, we were having good, high-quality insurance that my members love. But without that competitive leverage, we would not get those bids. We are able to, right now we have 142 probationary staff in Lakeville. We are able to attract and retain educators into Lakeville because of our high quality insurance that is affordable in our contract because of the bids that we're able to get through the HIDA legislation. And we honestly don't believe that changing that, we think it's fixing something that isn't broken. And I know that as you go to Greater Minnesota, because I sit on the Education Minnesota Healthcare Task Force, in my discussions with my colleagues, where there's less competition, you are at risk at higher and higher bids. And that PEEP bid actually puts pressure on everybody to bid a more honest, competitive bid for all districts, especially in Greater Minnesota, where not every provider exists. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Sinner. Any questions for Mr. Sinner at this point? Representative Wills.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And probably a question for both of you, and just listening to the testimony. Do you know, is there anything in the bill that would prevent school districts from getting a PEEP bid or change that process that would not allow you to get a PEEP bid?
I can answer that.
Representative Grisha.
Thank you, and thank you, Representative Wills, and thank you, Madam Chair. No, the actual, in law, in another section of law, school districts are required to get three bids. The HIDA law requires one of those three be a PEEP for a certain school district. So there, and I've always said this, I've said this from day one, I think school districts should be getting a PEEP bid, and I think they should request one. However, if we mandate only PEEP, why are we not mandating Blue Cross? Why are we not mandating health partners? That's the inconsistency of this law. I think there's some very good things in PEEP. However, what we've done is we've set aside winners and losers with administrative burdens. And so no district has had a reduction of their rates because of HIDA, because you can't enroll in HIDA. You may have gotten a better PEEP bid, and that may have been more competitive, but we also have districts that have left PEEP. And so my point in all this, the process says school districts must get three bids. HIDA specifically says one of those three must be PEEP. And so I have never, you know, I've said from day one, I think school districts should be getting PEEP bids, and nothing in my bill removes PEEP, dismantles it, takes it away, does anything to PEEP. In fact, it leaves it in place. It just says the process should be fair across the board.
Mr. Sinner.
Madam Chair, Ms. Wills. My concern is not just the bid. My concern is the ability to go to PEEP as the largest exclusive rep. If you have the ability to get a bid, but you have no ability to go to the lowest bidder or the one that you believe is the best, your voice is meaningless. It is that pressure that is put on the competitors to competitively bid through knowing that this organization can move to that choice that causes the competitive bid. If you remove the ability for the exclusive rep, the largest exclusive rep, to unilaterally go there, the bids will reflect that the power doesn't exist. And that's where my concern is. Without us being able to file and then follow through on that ability, if that is removed, then the competitive bidding process for the PEEP is removed, if even though it's there, you don't have the right to go there.
Representative Christian.
Thank you. This is where the rubber meets the road. In a district your size, that's a huge conversation. In a district that I come from, where there could be 150 staff people, and that's total, and 75 of them leave, the other smaller groups are left defending for themselves, as St. Francis said. And that's the problem with this. I believe this should be held at the collective bargaining stage, and there should be conversations between administration and the largest employee group, as well as the other groups, to find the best solution for the district. If one group has the ability to unilaterally leave in a district that has under 200 employees, that leaves the cook staff of 5 in a lurch, that leaves the custodial staff of 15 in a lurch, that leaves the paraprofessionals in a lurch. So what we've done, and I understand why they would want this, but understand what it does to the rest of the district. We put the thumb on the scale of one side. I want to remove that thumb and get it back to equal and say, I know these are hard conversations, and I want the collective bargaining units and the administration to work it out so that everybody has good health insurance to the best of their ability.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it's great to see you, Don. I'm glad you're here. And, I just want to make a comment, because I worked for 8 years trying to lower health care costs, and part of the challenge in our school district was that the school board was really not allowed to play any role in determining what the health insurance could be. We couldn't sit. The process at the time was there was a committee, and the committee was made up with teachers and administrators, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
School board members could not be involved. I pushed very hard to try to get more competitive bids or look at different options, and it just seemed to kind of go nowhere. So, I mean, I am glad that the outcome has been lower health care costs, because that was something that we all know that if we can still get quality health care, an extra dollar saved there is an extra dollar that there's, left for the school district to spend in other places. And I just hope that, you're open-minded to self-insurance as well. I mean, that was sort of the direction I was hoping that it would maybe go, was looking at that as another option, because that was saving, it saves our neighboring school districts quite a bit of money as well. So as much as I'm happy that our ultimate goal is to have the lowest health care costs at the best price and have quality program. But as legislators here, we have to look at what's best for all the school districts too. And so I think that I want to thank Representative Preacher for tackling this issue, and I appreciate your testimony, and thank you for helping lowering the cost, because we know that the school district needed it. But so it was more of a comment, but thank you, Madam Chair, for just making me make that point.
Thank you, Representative Peterson. Representative Sandstead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Krisha, I appreciate what you're trying to do, and I know that you are articulating very well that there are groups that may be left a little more exposed on this. I just want to share my experience and how this played out in my district, because my district was one that sought a PEAT bid. Prior to the HIDA law being enacted, we would purchase our insurance through a service co-op with the intent of getting the best rates. And 1 year came by, and there are many school districts, surrounding districts, that also participated in that co-op. And we were all facing astronomical hikes in our premium rates. And there didn't seem to be a lot of rhyme or reason why that was happening. And it left many districts having the conversation, we can't continue to think about buying insurance through the service co-op because we can't afford this anymore. And many districts started talking about what are our options, what are our choices, what do we do? And the co-op caught wind of that, and they were concerned about losing their members, and out of the goodness of their hearts, bought our insurance premiums down. So no school district saw more than like a 3% out of their reserves. But that, I don't understand how they can propose certain rates and then buy it down to 3% so we all stay and we're happy. So that puts a band-aid on the situation temporarily. The next year, very much the same situation. When PEEP when HIDA went into effect and PEEP was a mandated bid, we didn't see those fluctuations anymore. We saw competitive bidding, and I was able to sit on the negotiations committee that got to see all of the bids. PEEP actually came in lower than one of our bids, but we chose not to go with PEEP. It was very competitive with the company that we chose to do our business with. We stayed with the co-op. But we knew our plan. The dollar figure wasn't too different, and it worked for our district. But it did stabilize a situation that was genuinely out of control more than once. And though there are some people that you feel may be left out without HIDA in place, the largest group of employees was faced with no options. Our pocketbooks being impacted by premium rates that people can't afford anymore. And then you have to choose, do I stay in the profession and need insurance? And that contributes to the statewide situation of our shortage. School districts don't have to take the PEEP bid, but it does keep them honest. It does keep co-ops honest and more competitive. And to Representative Peterson, I don't know how it worked in your district, but there are conflicts that exist where we have school board members that are seated on or have been seated on the service co-op boards that deal with the insurance. So it's very difficult to feel like we have a voice at the table and we have some say on what's good for the majority of, you know, our members. And I can tell you, in our district, when we went to the bargaining table and we had to make a decision of what are we staying with, what are we doing, and we know it impacts a larger group, we were in conversation with those other groups. It isn't something that we just take lightly. And if a district were to choose to move, a body choose to move unilaterally, it isn't done on a whimsical manner. Thank you.
So, Manager.
Thank you. Representative Krishna.
So if everything you said is true and you think the process is great, why are we not applying it to all the school districts in the state? That's the exact look I have on my face. I don't know why.
I wasn't here.
But, I mean, to that point, I mean, and, you know, I've been fighting this for a long time. I'm not against PEEP. I'm not against teachers getting good insurance. I was a teacher. I came from those schools. My point is, this process is inconsistent, and I don't believe it's the best state policy we could have put forth. I believe everything you said, Representative Stan, said you could have gotten a PEEP beforehand. PEEP has always been around. You could have, everything you said, you could have done without this law. This law has created, as you've heard from other testifiers, an administrative burden. It increases the costs, and it's applying it to some districts and not all.
Follow-up, Representative Sansit.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to disagree just on one piece. Teachers couldn't go out and get those bids. The districts get the bids. So we're stuck with what we're stuck with.
Representative, did you want to comment, Representative Christian?
Nope.
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Christian, do you support small schools aid?
I believe I do.
Representative Krishna.
Do you support sparsity aid and sparsity transportation aid?
Yep.
Representative Krishna.
Those aids don't treat all school districts the same. We try to set policy that strikes the balance, maybe similar to the way you ran your classroom, and I certainly strove to, and the teachers across the state strive to, of having a standard and having expectations, but also recognizing that little Ronnie maybe needed something a little different, little Jimmy, and recognizing that each kid was unique and different. And you try to balance off the general and the specific. So small schools aid doesn't apply to every district. Sparsity aids, both classes of sparsity aid, don't apply to every district because we recognize that different districts are in fact different. So the HIDA law attempted to level the playing field and improve the information flow in school districts and recognize that some districts are different than others and keep that decision at the local level about how to structure your insurance, not take it up to the state level for every district in the state. I think there's other areas of law, to summarize, where we recognize that every district is different. We allow the folks on the ground who are closest to the situation to make the decisions, and we provide tools to facilitate that. The HIDTA law provided tools to people to facilitate a better conversation about health care. Transportation sparsity provides better tools to districts that are large in geography and small in student numbers. My district doesn't qualify, although I believe we run the greatest number of transportation miles each and every day of any school district in the state. We treat different schools differently when they're different. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Grisha.
Madam Chair, when I first got here, one of the first bills I heard in front of Representative Marquardt's committee was to remove all the categoricals. I believe Representative Fenton is carrying that now. I had the conversation time and time again with my school districts. Just send us the aid. We will figure out the best use of it. Of course I support those aids. I don't support them in categoricals. I support them in the sense that our school districts, as they are trying to make their days go and their budgets work, they will figure out how to spend that money. I have a district that staffed with me today. They don't have an HR department like one of the districts. They have a superintendent who drives the bus in the afternoon and who is the HR guy in the morning and still trying to make it work. So I agree with you. This process should go down to the local level. This law came from the largest school district, passed on down to the smaller school district. What I'm not in favor of is when the largest school district exempt themselves and say, rural Minnesota, this is good for you. You know, you need some tools. We're going to pass it on your behalf. So I appreciate where you're coming from, but if you look at who the carve-outs are, this doesn't seem so much like a law as it does a lecture.
Representative
Devaney? Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Krisha, 81 of the 83 school districts that have gone into PEEP under this that are in PEEP currently are Greater Minnesota school districts.
Mm-hmm.
So you just said that, well, we've got one set of rules for some folks and another for Greater Minnesota. Greater Minnesota is choosing PEEP.
Madam Chair?
Representative Krisha.
Many of those school districts were already in before HIDTA came. And I've always said, let them choose. Let them choose. Why are we mandating it? Why have we not, let's go, how many of those school districts have health partners, Medicare, Blue Cross? Why are we not mandating that side of the coin?
Representative Devaney.
Madam Chair, Representative Krisha, I think PEEP is the only statewide provider. The various health plans have different coverage presence across the state. So we can't mandate that Blue Cross Blue Shield provide a bid to a school district, not in a free market. Now, I'm a little mixed. I mean, I think there's ample evidence that free market and healthcare doesn't work, but we still can't do it. PEEP is a public entity, and we can mandate that, and it's the only one that have been named that is actually available in all four corners of the state, even in the northwest angle that is even connected to the rest of the state. So I think we can, in fact, look out for the needs of districts across the state. A number of Greater Minnesota districts of whom find that PEEP is the best fit for their employees.
Madam Chair?
Representative Krisha.
Last year on the House floor, when the amendment came up to have all the districts included, all the self-insured voted no and that amendment failed. When that amendment was removed and we came back up, all those same districts voted green to vote those administrative burdens onto my districts, but not their own. My point is this. If we're going to say PEEP is great and it's wonderful and it is the end-all be-all, then why do I have school districts lining up when they're asked to be put in part of the process and saying, please don't do this to us? But yet, once they're exempted, they say, yeah, go ahead and do it to everybody else. That's the question I have.
I don't want to take PEEP away. I've never once said we should take PEEP away. PEEP is a good, viable option as well as other ones. My point is, this is being unfairly applied to other districts outside the state.
Other questions? Mr. Sinner.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'd just like to address two comments that Representative Creasher made. One, that people have left PEEP in the past. To my knowledge, only two districts have ever done that because they got a more competitive bid from another provider later, which that's the way the field works. Two, whenever a district, a unit has unilaterally exercised their rights, the PEEP bid includes everybody in that district when it's bid. And the altruistic intentions of every unit is to try and create health care for all of the employees in that district, not to leave them behind. It's usually because the district chose to keep everybody else out that causes a dichotomy within a district. It isn't because the bargaining unit said, don't come with us. So that's a decision that the districts have made that have created those situations.
Thank you. Any other questions for testifiers or others? All right. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify? Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mark Schmiesing, and I work for Education Minnesota. For 34 years prior to that, I taught chemistry and physics in Minnesota Public Schools. One of the major concerns we continually hear from our members is how the cost of their health care is extremely high. The cost of health insurance is continually rising, and many school districts cap contributions to the employees. Our teachers bear the cost of any increase above this fixed amount. Plans are shifting to higher deductibles and out-of-pocket maximum, shifting more financial burden to the employee. We worked over the past decade to find a way to address these trends and find affordable, quality, sustainable health care for our educators. HITA, the Health Insurance Transparency and Accountability Act, provides some guidelines on how school districts can request bids and negotiate over health insurance. It still leaves the school district with the final decision on which insurance to purchase. One of the major parts of the HITA legislation was to require multiple health insurance bids to increase competition among health care plans. The HITA legislation also required that one of those bids be from the Public Employees Insurance Group. PEEP was created years before HITA in the late 1980s to make a comprehensive package of medical, dental, life insurance benefits available to employees of Minnesota cities, townships, counties, school districts, and other local government. PEEP was designed exclusively to give public employees the comprehensive coverage they deserve while giving public employers access to high-quality benefits package that will attract and retain outstanding employees. The success of PEEP is partially due to the continuous growth and stability of the pool. This growth would not have happened without the provisions of 43A.316 Subdivision 5, which this legislation would remove. Currently, there are 82 school units in PEEP, along with 67 other public entities, including cities and counties and other public institutions. We've already heard many examples from around the state how the HITA process is helping teachers and their families receive better, less expensive health care. By knowing districts are going to get a PEEP bid, all other providers need to be aware of that competition. During the passage of HITA, there was much discussion about self-insured districts. Our original position was that all districts would benefit from getting a PEEP bid. While we still believe this to be true, the provision was amended to reflect the different product that self-insureds actually purchase. This legislation would eliminate the unilateral right of a bargaining unit to join PEEP. This is the only real tool that teachers have if they disagree with the district's decision on which insurance to purchase. Teachers represent the largest group of ultimate consumers of health insurance. They should have an active voice in the selection process. Others may argue that one group choosing PEEP provides a division between the group and other employees. It needs to be clearly understood that a PEEP bid is for the entire district. It is strongly encouraged that the entire district join PEEP, and there's nothing that keeps the rest of the district from choosing whatever plan they want to go with. Thank you very much for your hard work, and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Schmeising. Any questions for Mr. Schmeising or any of the witnesses? All right, not seeing any. Representative Crescia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And
So let me just close with this. I know I've taken more than enough of your committee time, and I apologize for that. Actually, I don't, because you know what? I'm fighting for the right people, and that's what we do down here. I didn't come down here and say, I'm going to go after HIDTA. I didn't come down. I came down here representing my districts and representing my area, and this came to me from those school districts. They said, this is a challenge. And let me tell you one quick story. When the first bid came up, and our school districts went to it, they went to the service co-op. I'm very familiar with the service co-ops. In fact, I've done a lot of work with service co-ops. And they got their bid. And they went out and got a peak bid like they were supposed to in the HIDTA law. But not all the school districts got a HIDTA or a peak bid. And then they got a letter, and they were challenged legally. And then it had everybody up in arms, and they ended up with about $50,000 in legal costs, which, by the way, could have gone to schools, school supplies, locker fixes, other things. But they were challenging this, saying, well, every school's got to get a peep bid, not just a service co-op. So there's been some hiccups in this. And my point in all of this is, before I brought this amendment up, I was always up at this testifier stand by myself. And everybody would come up, and they would say how great PEEP is and how great and wonderful things it is. So I said, you know what? Let's do a compromise. Let's say that if the school district largest group requests a PEEP bid, they should get one. But as a compromise on the side of that, let's say that all the school districts should have to abide by that and that the unilateral option is removed, so this goes to the collective bargaining. As soon as I put that amendment together, I've had all kinds of people come and say, whoa, let's not go crazy here. What are you doing? So with that, I'll respectfully withdraw the amendment because I don't want to put those burdens on the districts that have asked. But I would hope that you would consider the school districts that I'm hearing from as well because they have the same concerns.
We have a question from Representative Markworth.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry to get in late here. All the testimony was done, you just quickly went to Representative Cresha, so I apologize.
That's okay.
Being out of order on this, but... first of all, Representative Cresha, I wish you would not have withdrawn your amendment. And I think a lot of this, we're losing, we talk too much about PEEP. This isn't about PEEP because this still allows districts, if the largest bargaining unit wants to go to PEEP, can still ask for a PEEP bid. But what it does do, it tries to treat a mandate equally across the state. And I've had concerns about this because it does set two sets of rules. And when you have this conflict, and it's going back, this program is always going to be kind of a target until everyone is treated equally. Because usually bills and laws, if you got one segment and it's, you know, it was interesting, the St. Francis, one of the folks were talking and said, we're not a very large school district, we're 4,500 students. That's twice as large as the largest district or school district I have in my own district. So things are really different in a matter of perspective. But I've talked to superintendents from my area who think this is an unfair mandate that they're required to do in these smaller districts that other districts are not required to do. And as long as you have that out there where people are feeling that they're not being treated fairly, you're constantly going to have this challenge to this law. And so I want to ask Representative Cresha this question, if I could. If your amendment that you withdrew, but let's say that was to have been part of the bill and became law, would you see that there would need to be any other changes made to the HIDTA law?
Representative Cresha.
That's a great question, and thank you, Representative Markworth. So I think the challenge is, and the reason I won't get agreement on this amendment is because I think the fair compromise is that, and I understand this from the self-insured, that they do not, and what I've heard the opposition is the unilateral leaving. I mean, if you're in a district and you're trying to negotiate and the largest bargaining unit can just up and leave on you, then you can't negotiate fairly for everyone. So what I've heard is that from the people that oppose the amendment, on one side they're saying, you know, leave us carved out, don't include us back in. But the other side has said, as long as we have our unilateral ability to leave, and I don't think I can get agreement on that part. I go back to the first line. I really do believe that any that anybody should be able to request a PEAT bid, and I would think it's in the district's best honor, district's best interest to honor that. And I wish we could just get there without having to make a state law about that. So I know it's a convoluted answer, but that's as close as of an agreement I've gotten to this point. It may come up later as we're having further discussions. I don't know.
Representative Markwin. Also, do we have data on, I mean, this became law in 2014 now, so we've got a couple years, and I remember I asked this last year, and people, it was too quick, or, you know, but do we have data now on showing that since PITA went into effect, what have been the average increase statewide in various areas of the state? I don't know if we have that. I know last year folks were saying it was too quick. They didn't really have it. I don't know, Representative Crescia, if you've got any data on that at all. But
Representative Crescia.
I've seen so, any.
We have some data. A lot of it's anecdotal, and quite honestly, each side's using the data for their own benefit, which I understand, right? I mean, one side will say because of HITA, insurance rates have gone down, but they'll also say, well, we really didn't go into PEAT either. So really what happened was the three bidding process is working. The competitive bidding process is working. You also hear, and as a former CFO and somebody who's managed healthcare, the reason rates go up is because the risk changed, because really bad things happened to that pool, and insurance companies will find out a way to get those costs back through premiums for the life of those pools. So when you hear, well, our premiums went up by 13%, something happened in that pool. Somebody had some medical situations that raised that risk and is trying to offset that equilibrium. So when you have districts jumping in and out of pools, it can become very hard and risky. That's where I think the benefits of PEAT actually make a lot of sense, because you can even those out. But so when you hear districts say, well, we got a PEAT bid and our things came straight down, what they're not telling you is something changed in the pool. What changed? Did somebody have, you know, heaven forbid, you know, cancer that was really bad, that was really expensive, but then left? And that has brought the, you know, so all of these other things matter. My point is this, to your data, it's going out and getting multiple bids. That process is what makes this competitive. It's not that PEAT or that HITA was in place. Because as my testifier said, PEAP's been around for a long time. So if merely the existence of PEAP has changed the bids, then we would have seen that across the board. That's not what happened.
Representative Mark, final comment. I appreciate all that, Representative Crescia. I mean, I agree with the competition and the transparency and helping to drive things down. But I do believe the long-term viability of this law is in peril if we don't make some of these changes and to make it more equitable. And I'll leave it at that, but I appreciate, Representative Crescia, your efforts. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. All right. Any other questions or comments? I'm going to do a good look around here. All right. Representative Crescia?
Thank you for your time, Madam Chair.
All right. So with that, Representative Crescia renews his bill about House File 1558. Be laid over for possible inclusion or further action at a later time. All right, thank you. And that is all we have on the agenda for today. So, members, we'll try to send out an email to alerting you when the language has been posted as well. Hoping tonight, if not tomorrow morning, but we'll keep you posted. All right, thank you. Committee is adjourned.